Okay, so on Rosh Hashanah there was a lot of focus on Akedas Yitzchak, and the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar itself, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, is a zecher to Akedas Yitzchak. So just when you think, okay, that was Rosh Hashanah, but now we're done with Akedas Yitzchak, now we move on to other themes. Every single day of Aseres Neshuva, there is a slicha about the Akedah. Akedah takes on a continued role throughout Aseres Neshuva. It's not apparently only about the shofar. Shofar we put away already. Shofar is not coming back anymore. I mean, the one tkiyah at the end of Yom Kippur, but mitzvah shofar is not coming back. And yet, Akedah continues to be something that that we emphasize. So, a couple of things about the Akedah. Why is it that we continue to focus on the Akedah long after the last shofar blast? What is it about the Akedah that so grabs our attention, or something that's such a primary focus for us, for our avodah? Second of all, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Zayin tells us, that a certain element of Akedas Yitzchak that relates to the shofar, right? Meaning, it's not really the shofar doesn't really relate to the Akedah. It's lama tokim b'shofar shel ayil k'deisha eskolachem Akedas Yitzchak ben Avram. Meaning, of all parts of the Akedah, what we're actually commemorating is the ayil. The ayil was after the fact. The ayil was not the Akedah. The Akedah was Yitzchak. The ayil happened afterwards. That wasn't a challenge, really. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would have made for a lousy story if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told Avraham Avinu, I have a big test for you. You got to wake up early in the morning and you got to go bring an ayil for a korban. Avraham Avinu would have said, okay, I'll find the nicest ayil you want. Would not have been a big deal. We wouldn't be telling hero stories about it. It's only because it was Yitzchak. So yet, the shofar recalls not even anything about Yitzchak, but we find a mitzvah that recalls the ayil. The ayil is like, okay, yeah, I'm here anyway, might as well shech something. All right, give me the ayil, I'll shech that. That's not a critical part of the story. And furthermore, at the conclusion of the Akedah, a malach comes from Shemayim and tells Avram Avinu, Yana Asisa Sadavra, that you did this great thing, now you can become a great nation, you can have so many children like the sand and like the stars and all of those. The first malach who stops Avram from shechting Yitzchak commended him on his Yirah Shemayim, spoke to Avram immediately after he demonstrated his willingness to shecht Yitzchak, but it's only after the shechita of the ayil that the second malach comes and actually gives him a bracha. When you read the parsha, it's Vayarvi nei ayil achar nechaz basach b'karnav ve'elach Avram ikach sa'il ve'alei li'ola, and then the malach says, oh, now you get a bracha. I would have thought, he's got the knife, Yitzchak is right there, tied down. You stop him in the spot and you say, now you deserve a bracha, right then and there. But no, he stops him, then he shechs the ayil, and then he gets the bracha. What did Avram do with the slaughtering of the ram that deserved blessing more than the initial Mesivus Nefesh of being willing to do the Akedah itself? The challenge of bringing a korban certainly dwarfs the challenge of bringing one's own child as a korban. There's a medrash, Psichta de'echa Rabasi. The medrash tells us as follows. B'shas chubren beis hamikdash amdu avos ha'olam ubikshu rachmim v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yisrael. That at the time of the chubren habayis, the avos ha'olam went and were mevakesh rachmim for klal Yisrael. V'yotonim l'fanav, sh'yizchale ma'aseyem atovim. So all the avos came and they said, you should remember all of our good deeds. V'yirachim al b'neim, and therefore being the z'chus avos that we had. So you should be merachim on the klal Yisrael. V'lo nenu. When it didn't work for anyone else, Rachel stood up. Rachel jumped up in front of Hashem. Va'amra, Ribono Shalom, Galui Lefanecha SheYakov Avducha Ahavani Ava Yaseva. Yaakov loved me with excessive love. Va'avad b'shvili la'aba sheva shanim. And for me, he worked 7 years. U'ksheshlim vosin sheva shanim v'igiyaz manisui l'bali yod tzavi l'achlifeni l'bali b'shvel achosi. And when it came my turn, my father came up with this plan to switch me out. V'huk sh'alai adavar moruz. That wasn't easy for me. And I gave my husband a simon. And then, I decided not to humiliate my sister. I gave her all the simonim, and then, Not only that, I didn't even get jealous of her afterwards. So Rav Moshe Chavroni, I don't remember where I saw this. This is like something I said in shul like 15 years ago or something. I don't remember where I saw this exactly. But Rav Moshe Chavroni asked the following question. You know, Rachel expresses this enormous sense of rachmanis for her sister, overcoming her own strong desire to do what was best for her in favor of what was best for her sister. So, isn't it a little gratuitous to then stress, and by the way, I also didn't get jealous at the end. Like the jealousy, I mean, big deal. I mean, the big mesiras nefesh was that you actually gave your husband to Leah, or you gave Leah to your husband. You stepped aside and allowed Leah to get married. That's the mesiras nefesh. Why does she have to then add in, oh, and by the way, lo'od below kinesi. So Rav Chavroni explains that very often people are capable of rising to great heights. People can step up to a moment. This is a basic yisod. You've probably heard 1,000 times, but it's kedai specifically on some gedalia to highlight this yisod, I think. You know, we muster the willpower to take a moment in time and to just elevate ourselves to a certain madrega and to do something great. The challenge is certainly a great challenge, but it's something that's within our capabilities to push ourselves for a moment. The greater challenge is to make that moment last longer than a moment, is to follow it up with something else, with a little bit more, to allow that great accomplishment to leave a lasting impact. So Rachel had accomplished something amazing. She gave the signs to Leah, but it took a strength of character, it took a certain willpower that's very enviable to do that. But what would have happened had she become jealous afterwards? That jealousy would have represented a steep decline from what she had just accomplished. It would have been a massive descent from where she was. Rachel was up to the greatest challenge of all. Not just that she accomplished something great, but that she allowed it to continue to impact her, that she continued to step up even after that moment was over. And that yisod, that very often the greatest challenge in life is not to experience an amazing Yom Noram Davening. If you have a half a Jewish heart, you experience an amazing Yom Noram Davening. You feel inspired at some point on Yom Noraim. The Akedah was a major nisayon that God had put in Avram's way. He rose to the occasion, he passed it with flying colors. But the moment had not necessarily left a permanent impact, or we didn't know if it left a permanent impact until the next moment. And the next moment, there's an opportunity for a little more Avodas Hashem. So what could he say? I retire, I did enough already. No, even a little more, a small act of Avodas Hashem. That ayil is what we emphasize. It's that ayil that we remind ourselves of on Rosh Hashanah, and we remind ourselves of throughout the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, because, of course, you have a Jewish heart, of course, during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, during Rosh Hashanah, of course you're going to feel something. You're going to feel a tremendous sense of inspiration. Question is, in what sense does it leave an impact? You know, Rav Asher Weiss has a nice piece in Minchas Asher, based on Rav Elchanan, really, about the difference between those mitzvahs that you can make a shliach for and those mitzvahs that you cannot make a shliach for, right? And he essentially breaks it down. Rav Chaim does also essentially breaks down three types of mitzvahs, right? I cannot make a shliach to put on tefillin for me or to eat matzah for me. I can make a shliach to be mekadesh nisha for me. I don't even need a shliach to build a makkah for me. You can have a goy build a makkah al gagech. You don't even need a shliach. So how do we, divide those categories? So he said just very simply, there's some mitzvahs that are maisa-oriented, some that are goal-oriented, and some that are both. Meaning, you have a mitzvah that's purely maisa-oriented, a mitzvah that's about picking up the lulav, about eating the matzah. It's about that maisa in that moment. It's a maisa-oriented mitzvah. Then there are goal-oriented mitzvahs. Makal gagecha. Make sure your home is safe. Make sure that no one's going to die. No one's going to fall off the roof. No one's going to hurt themselves. It doesn't matter. I don't need a shlich for that. I can have a guy do that for me, even though a nachri is not a bar shlichus. You don't even need a shlich. You just need to make sure you accomplish the goal. But then you have certain mitzvahs that there's a goal that has to be accomplished. There's a chalos that has to happen, but it has to be al yedei ma'isa. And that's where shlichus comes into play. That's where we allow a shliach and you need a shliach. Right? That's kiddushin. That is a ma'isa kiddushin, but it creates a chalos. When we think of the mitzvah of tshuva, so what kind of mitzvah is tshuva? is Shuvah just like a goal-oriented mitzvah? You know, it's done, box checked, taken care of, Averu's gone. Is Shuvah a Maisa-oriented mitzvah? That I'm sitting here in the moment doing my Harata, and my Kabbalah Lassan, and my Aziva Sachet, and my Vidui, so I'm doing the Maisa? Shuvah is, it doesn't work with Shlichas, obviously, but Shuvah, because it's a very personal kind of thing, but if you had to identify whether the focus is on the Maisa, the focus is on the Chalos, Shuvah is both. It's got to be that in the moment I'm doing this maisa, I have to go through the exercise of tshuva. The maisa is critical, but it's not all about the maisa. It has to leave an impact. There has to be something left over from that maisa later on. There has to be something that you're left with, something that's going to change about the person after the tshuva process is over. And that's the probably the most important message of the Yom Noraim experience. It's not easy to focus on tefillah in a sincere way for 10 days straight, but we understand that this is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so karov, so how could we not? So, you know, we have, on Yom Kippur, we stand like malachim, even though we're not eating. But an even greater challenge than that is to take that inspiration and to make it last. Mi yala b'ar Hashem is a good barometer for success, but even more importantly is mi yakum b'mkom kacho. Who's going to have a kiyum? What's going to remain in that place? Who's going to remain in that place? And that's why the Shulchan Aruch paskens twice. I think it's only halacha that appears in back-to-back si'ifin in Shulchan Aruch, that Ramah paskens in back-to-back si'ifin in Shulchan Aruch, that after you, after Yom Kippur, first thing you do is you build a sukkah. That two halachas in a row in Shulchan Aruch, the very last halacha in Yom Kippur, the very first halacha in Sukkah. That because the whole purpose of Yom Kippur is what's next. What are you going to do next? It always bothered me. I remember when I was in Karen Biavne, when I was living in Yeshiva, I remembered some Gedalia morning. So some Gedalia morning, there were a lot of guys that were in the dorms, during morning Seder. It was a fast day. So fast day, no one has the koach, especially Rosh Hashanah is exhausting. In Yeshiva, Rosh Hashanah is really exhausting. You're putting all your kochos into your tefillah. You really, and it's, people don't, unless someone really experiences a tefillah, like if you're experiencing tefillah, like reading some books, as the chazan is doing whatever he's doing during davening, so that's not exhausting at all. But when you're really putting your energy into tefillah, it's exhausting. Like you really, it's kimat impossible not to, to be mekayim the minhag of not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah when you really, really put your energy into the tefillah. So guys were exhausted. So guys stayed in the dorm, during morning Seder. Remember, a couple of chevra came running around to all the dorm rooms to wake us all up. Wake them all up, and to get all the chevra back into the Rosh Hashiva is piping mad. I remember the Rosh Hashiva is angry. Get back into the Beis Medrash, and we got the Beis Medrash, and the Rosh Hashiva got up. It was not the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal. It was Rav Greenberg already by the time I was there, and the Rosh Hashiva just said, Pashut, it wasn't a long shmooze. He's like, I don't understand. The day after Rosh Hashanah, the day after Rosh Hashanah, you sleep in. Like, how's it shayach? The day after Rosh Hashanah is the day that you take it easy in your learning? He didn't say anything else. I don't think he said anything else. And we just felt like idiots. Like, that's a good point. Like, it was right after Rosh Hashanah. But the truth is, that's the bigger test. It's, in a certain way, Rosh Hashanah is easier than the day after Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is an easier avoda than what happens afterwards. What happens afterwards, to be able to have some sort of kiyum from that inspirational experience, that's an even greater challenge. So yeah, it's hard to keep it clocked up all the way for 10 days straight, but the mindset has to be, and what's the kiyum going to be? What's going to be different? What's going to be better afterwards? What's going to change? What's going to, in what way is the avodah? Where's my ayil? What's the next avodah? I think that's how some of the Rishonim even explain that when they list the Asara Nisyonos and Snasa Avram Avinu. So some of the Rishonim have that the last Nisayon is not Akedas Yitzchak, that the last Nisayon is the negotiations with Ephron to buy Maris HaMachpelah. So I mean, okay, Ephron wanted to rip Avram Avinu off. Okay, it was not the last time in history that someone tried to rip someone off when they were trying to bury their loved one. You can Google it. It happens all the time. Funeral homes throughout the country. They'll always say, "Do you want the plain pine box, or do you really love your mother and you want the $50,000?" or air conditioned, whatever, you know. So they take advantage of people in their time of mourning. That's why we're so fortunate in Klal Yisrael that we have such minhagim that can't be changed in terms of how we do kvura. It's still way too expensive. It's still a lot of money. But why is that such a big nisayon for Avraham Avinu after Akedas Yitzchak? And that's exactly the answer. It's because it's after Akedas Yitzchak. He already did the Akedah. So now what's going to happen next? Anything that happens next, any inconvenience that happens next is a very great nisayon, because that's ultimately the measure of whether he's a changed person as a result of the experience that he had. So that's our avoda. Our avoda during our Aseret Metshuva is to show that Rosh Hashanah really had an impact, that Rosh Hashanah really changed us, that we're learning with more asmada, that we're learning with more intensity. And our avoda after Yom HaKippurim is to show that Yom HaKippurim really had an impact, and that the way we experience the mitzvos of Sukkot and the Yom Tovim are going to be different than the way that we have in the past. I think that's the etzem, the avoda sayom of today, at the very least. Okay.